And this will also be as our communion Sunday. And today is the authority of our confession, which is God's word, scripture. In the call to worship, we read Isaiah 55. Read two passages from 2 Timothy and from John. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. The Word of the Lord. Each week you'll receive a sermon handout. On the back will be a number of quotes, most of which will not be referenced in the midst of the sermon, but it's for your further study. They're quotes from Christian authors and or, particularly this week, lines from our own confessions of faith to understand what it is that we believe about the particular topic being discussed, and especially this week, the subject of Holy Scripture. There's a new pastor who was visiting the homes of his parishioners. He came to his church, and he went to the house of one particular individual, and it seemed obvious that someone was home at the time. He knocked and knocked and knocked, and there was no answer at the door. So he took out one of his business cards and wrote Revelation 3:20 on the back of the card and stuck it on the door. That next Sunday, when the offering was being collected, the card had been returned with an additional verse on it, cryptic. It said Genesis 3:10, and the minister, reaching for his Bible, checked out the citation and broke out in laughter. For to know the verses, it was to say Revelation 3:20, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And we'll sup with him, have dinner with him, and he with me." Genesis 3:10 reads, "And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." There used to be a day in which, when a presidential candidate or some public figure were to make a speech and have references in there from Moses and the deliverance from Egypt or a story from Jonah, that the people listening would just hear it. They would know it. They would know the scriptural allusion. They would know that it was a scriptural text being used to discuss a particular topic in hand. And the reality of this is these days are over. The idea of people being able to allude to or understand that a particular illustration, a particular verse, a particular discussion is coming from the Word of God. It goes without saying that the understanding of what God's Word is has fallen on hard times. And it's fallen on hard times not only in the culture as a whole, which has had the collapse of Christendom, the collapse of Western culture in terms of its largely Christian allegiances, but it's also been in the church in the midst of our busyness, in the midst of our assumption that if we know a kind of a few basics about Scripture, what Christianity is, we can just come once a week and have the minister explain a few verses to us, and that could be the sum total of our familiarity with it. And this is really not a good thing. It's really not a good thing, particularly in the midst of alarming reports from the pastoral ministry, which say that the number of ministers who read the Bible daily is abysmally low. That even in the midst of our professionalized ministry experience, we seem to have to be busy with far better things than understanding what God's Word has to say to us. And the danger of this is not merely that our lack of understanding is low. It's not that the point of God's Word is to make everybody smart and know-it-alls. It's just that when we don't know it and we don't know it well, we tend to make grievous errors. particularly when I'm watching shows these days, and it's often presented in the midst of a sitcom, in the midst of a movie, where a caricature is made of the Christian faith, and the person in there is trying to make fun of the Christian in the show by quoting scripture against them. And in both sides of the case, the Christian who's speaking about the scripture and the person who wants to slam the Christian speaking about scripture, they're both reading it very poorly. They're actually using it out of context. They're actually assuming things about us that are not true. They do not actually set up a true illustration of what one believes and then try to bring it down. It's actually a straw man kind of an argument. And the importance for us for understanding Scripture is that it is the Word of God, and it is meant for us to live our lives in light of what He's done for us. And the way in which we kind of walk through the malaise of a culture on both sides of the aisle that misunderstands Scripture is to know it really well. And John Stott's very helpful for us. The famous pastor from Britain said, the Bible, if we look at it, the Bible, it really isn't about people trying to discover God. It's about God reaching out to find us. Therefore, we must allow the Word of God to confront us, to disturb our security, to undermine our complacency, and to overthrow our patterns of thought and behavior. He's saying that for someone who really understands Scripture, they sit under it. They don't sit to the side as a critiquer. Though it's perfectly fine to test it, to see whether or not it is true. But to really know it is to sit under it. To really know it is to submit to it. To really know it is to actually have read it and read it carefully, rather than to arm yourself with a few verses, conservative or liberal, so that you could win an argument. It's not about winning an argument. It's about understanding what a Christian life is like. Scripture is God's word written to us. It's not like some of the religions of the world where the word of God just appears magically in the midst of some kind of form. It is the revelation of God's interaction with humanity throughout history. Particular times and particular places. That is to say, God reveals himself. God has made himself known. It is not the recording of what people sat around a campfire and said, what do you think about God? It's actually God says, thus saith the Lord, here is who I am. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods besides me. He has revealed himself. And one of the very truths of Scripture that if you wanted to test it out along the way is the things that he reveals about himself are mirrored nowhere else in this world. It's not something that could be made up. It's not the kind of God that humans would wish for if they were to sit and imagine what kind of God they would want to worship. And in particular, when we get to Jesus Christ, the idea that God would become human flesh, the all-encompassing God would become into our sinful world and die for us, is the most startling and foolish thing of all if it were not beautifully true. He reveals himself to us. Now, yes, he does it through human authors who write it down, who were themselves fallible, but his words that he gave to them are ones that are fully trustworthy, fully able to be followed. And it requires of us that we think through this, that we be careful on how we walk through it. Though we have God's word, it doesn't mean that everything about it is easily understood. Westminster Confession of Faith has a very helpful line in which it says, the meanings of all the passages in the Bible are not equally obvious, nor is any individual passage just equally clear to everyone. However, everything which we have to know, everything which we have to believe and observe in order to be saved, it does say, is so clearly presented and revealed somewhere in the Bible, in essence, that everybody can know it. Not just the scholars of the faith. Not just those who can read Greek and Hebrew. It is revealed such that all may know and believe in the word of the Lord. And the principle is, in the midst of this, is that we don't come to understandings of Scripture based upon how we feel or how we think. We allow it to speak to us. And we allow Scripture to interpret Scripture. That is to say, Those parts that are hard to understand are often understood when we find it referenced somewhere else in Scripture. It's important for us to listen to its word to us. And Scripture is not only God's word written down by those whom he has revealed himself to, and particularly one of the test cases for the New Testament was eyewitness testimony of Jesus Christ was the criteria to make it into the canon. They had to have seen him and heard him and followed him. And Scripture is also God's word for our lives. Scripture teaches us, according to our forebearer in the faith, John Calvin, two very important things. That what is true religion, he asks in the first chapter of his Institutes. It is the knowledge of God and the knowledge of ourselves, both of which require Scripture. That is to say, Scripture is the measure by which we understand who we are. Scripture is the one that communicates to us what we think we ought to know, but we often don't. That we are not God, that we are fallen, that we need his grace, that we have things that we must repent of, and that we have followed a road that we need to turn around from. We don't know these things apart from Scripture. We don't really truly know ourselves until we allow God to show us who we are. And usually it's a devastating thing to come to terms with. To really know who we are is something that brings us to our knees. But a right knowledge of God only comes through Scripture as well. It's amazing when you look at the panoply of religions in the world and some of the crazy understandings of God. There really are manifestations of what we think God ought to look like, what God ought to be doing. And they often present a view of God that seems pleasing, but is actually really pathetic. A God that really can't do much in your life right now. A God that's waiting for you to find some secret truth to the meaning of the universe. A God that is helpless in the midst of injustice. A God who wants you to do for yourself what this God cannot do for you. It's amazing that people have, after entering into it, still cling to these kinds of gods because they are not the God that can save. They are not a God that stands against the misuse of truth. They are not a God who forgives and who alone does it through the sending of his Son. We know who God is, and we know who we are in light of this God because of what Scripture tells us about. And the great thing there is when we go there and the devastating truth of who we are and the amazing beauty of who God is tells us the truth in terms of what we call the gospel, tells the truth of how the amazing God and the fallen human are reconciled through Jesus Christ. Jesus is one who is spoken of as being full of grace and truth. And real quickly here, these are really the poles of religion in our world today. On the one side is people who will hammer on truth, 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 truth. And Christians who are the same way. And they would be likened to Jesus' debate with the Pharisees. At the end of the day, you just need to know the truth. Truth, truth, truth. And hopefully at the end of the day, you have followed the truth to a T, such that the God of the world will accept you. And they have no room for grace. The other side of the debate with the Sadducees. More liberal traditions as well in our world that just pound grace, 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 grace. Have very little time for truth. And Jesus never allowed that kind of divide to unfold. He was the one who brought grace and truth. You can't separate the one from the other. How do you know that you've received amazing grace? By knowing what truth is. Truth about yourself. The truth of how far you've fallen. The truth that there's a God who loved you, that he would send his Son to die for you. The only way that grace means anything to us is if we know who we are in light of that, the truth that we ought to be following. But how do we know what truth is? It just didn't appear on the heavens for us to look at. We have truth because God in His grace showed it to us. God in His grace came and spoke to us. God in His grace gave us His truth so that we may follow. We can never separate grace and truth. They go together. To know grace is to know truth. And to know the truth is to speak grace. They go hand in hand. And we know this through Scripture. It is from the day one to the ending of time. It is be the record of God's grace unfolding in light of His truth. God's truth being shown to us in the midst of His grace. And therefore, we say the Scripture allows us to know the Word of God. Scripture is the Word of God because it is the revelation of God given to us. But Scripture, ultimately, its point and purpose is to point us to John 1, where in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That is to say, it is not the Word of God simply in a generic form. It is not the Word of God simply in a listing of proverbs to follow. It is not the Word of God that talks about a generic God with a generic religion in which we exercise general religious practices to kind of appease or to please this particular God. It is the Word of God because it points us to Christ. It is the Word of God because it allows us to know who He is and how it is that we are to follow Him. Jesus says, if you have known Me, and if you have seen Me, you have seen the Father. Scripture is meant to point us to the Word of God, Jesus Christ, to believe in Him, to follow Him, and to trust Him. And so all that we do here, everything that we do, is in light of what Scripture asks us to do. Why do we praise God? Because we are called to praise God in Scripture because of who He is and how much He has brought us out of the pit. Why do we confess our sins? It's because Scripture calls us to confess our sins, to not lie about who we are, but to present who we are to one who already knows us, and in spite of what He knows about us, wanted to die for us as well. Why do we pray? Because we are called to, like Dan said, to pray to the One who alone promises to answer and to act accordingly. We hear God's Word proclaimed and preached because that is the very thing that is meant to go out to the whole world. Scripture calls us to not be silent about what you have seen and what you have heard. And we are surely going to celebrate communion. I mean, this, if you think about this, this is a very odd thing to do. To have someone stand in front of you and say, this is the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. Let's have a meal together. Unless you know that it is pointing to an event so powerful that you can't help but taking these elements, but to be moved to tears to know that there was a God whose body was broken and whose blood was shed for you. And how do we know that this means so much? Because the Bible tells us so. Jesus loves me and laid down His life for me. I had a friend who, in seminary, who was married, and I was single at the time, and we spent a lot of time together, and routinely in the midst of our walking around campus or in the midst of the car on a drive somewhere, he'd always say, he'd mess up on something. He said, my wife told me this was going to happen. And then he'd say, man, my wife told me that was a stupid thing to do. And then he'd make a wrong turn. My wife told me this wasn't the place to go. I just thought, you know, if she's always right, why don't you listen to her the first time? I mean, are you that dense? Maybe she's proven herself to have it figured out now and then. And so the thing got old, and I said, listen to him. In the midst of voices in our culture that are all truth without grace or all grace without truth, that have such, I think, shallow and weak understandings of what Scripture really has to say, I hope if you hear nothing this morning, hear from me the voice of one who really believes that the Word of God is life. It points to Jesus Christ. It is a way to a life that we cannot manufacture for ourselves, but gives us hope, shows us forgiveness, that leads us in truth. And it requires us to really listen to what it has to say, to be obedient to it, to allow it to be tested out, for us to be patient enough to understand those parts that are hard to understand, to take it seriously. Because I am one who can testify that again and again and again in my life, you know, I should have listened to him. You know, he was being very clear to me that wasn't the way to go. The Lord didn't want me to be like this. He wanted me to be following him. And you know, I should have listened. I should have been more willing to take him seriously, but I thought I knew better. I thought I had it figured out. I thought I could decide for myself what ought to be true, and I was wrong. Trust in him. Test him. See if he will be faithful. Take seriously his word. And it requires deeply entering into it to know true grace and truth. Amen.